I'm your host, Joel Zak, and right now you're listening to Talking About Art. Here we are. It's the second Friday of January, January 25th. Amazing.
Ellis.
Yes.
What are you up to?
Well, I'm happy to be here. My name is Ellis Snowcarp. And I do what I do for the love of art. And for me, it's a language. And it's a point of accessibility, I think. Since a young age, ever since grade school, I saw in the world people that were not making art and finding it again as adults. And I thought, what is that, right? And I'm like, well, why do we stop, right? And that's something that I asked myself in grade school, because I grew up, I am dyslexic, and so art as it's a different modality for me to experience and express the world. It is a language. And in fact, thinking about childhood, and I would say that we were all artists and dancers, and you know, we had all of these means of expressing ourselves. And then we start to relegate ourselves in our lives, and we say, oh, well, Trevor's the one that's really good at dancing, and Melissa's the scientist, right? You know, and so it's something that's carried forward with me in my life. So I've had all of the trappings of art, and my first job in high school was apprenticing with Karen Miller, who does traditional katazome indigo dyeing. And so being in her studio and working with fabrics and in the production and in such a rich tradition really made an impression on me. And I did undergraduate work at Oregon State University and found that I was doing art and opera, and that is not a major that you can pursue simultaneously, and was told to me by the art department. And so I said, I'm going to take some time. But I think for me at the time, to surround myself again is music is another form of expression. I got hired at, shout out to View Plus Technology that does braille printing and embossers, on a special project doing tactile visual artwork for the blind, and very quickly got promoted to lead artist on that. And it made a deep impression on me because for the first time ever, students were able to access lesson plans without an adult standing behind them over their shoulder, helping them. So how this was facilitated was with a touchpad that was sensitive to tap technology and multiple tap technology. And for the first time ever, they come out with a technology that printed braille, not only, braille's normally binary, it's on or off and it's one dimension. So this could print in seven different dimensions and in color. And I got to be on the cutting edge of that as someone that's like, you know, I'm not gonna do college. And amazing, because we did math, health, and science, kindergarten through fifth grade. And so you're starting to illustrate. And what I loved about this as well is that as someone growing up dyslexic, this technology was also for me, because it's multimodal. You, as a child, could put their hands on a lesson plan, access it on the right, but if there's anything in the drawing that they couldn't understand, they could tap on it, right? So what's this a picture of? It's a sun. What's this? It's a planet orbiting the sun, right? And so building in complexity and then building it from a abstract concept, right? You have a child from kindergarten through fifth grade, and you're trying to tell them that maybe it's in shapes and geometry, that a grape is different than a basketball, is different than a quarter. And so you start to think, well, how does tactile, or how could multiple dimension facilitate and add to this? And it got me thinking about abstract thought as well, and the way that we form meaning through our art society and with shapes and images. And I thought, geez, you know, you go out on the street and you ask 10 people to draw you a house, and 9 out of 10 of them are going to draw you a rectangle with a triangle on top. And I go, well, why is that? Right. And so just incredible work there. And that inspired me to go back to school. And I chose the School of the Art Institute of Chicago because I wanted to study more abstract theory and thought, and how we come to form these basis of meanings. And I thought, well, you know, how better than in a museum that is also a teaching school, and to be with artifacts and objects and then be in the classroom. And there in Chicago is also the bed of social justice art education. And I immersed myself in that, and then also fell headlong into ceramics. And I found a really beautiful hybrid in both of these. And I thought to myself, as I continued to ponder these thoughts, I went, well, geez, in a museum, if I could translate things from, lesson plans, why couldn't I translate abstract thought in art, right? What makes art so inaccessible? As somebody that's dyslexic, going to a museum, my favorite museums were science and history museums. Why? Because they have visuals, they have tactiles. You can put your hand in a dinosaur footprint and realize just how small it is. But why aren't art museums like that? Now, the Art Institute of Chicago did have some tactile tiles designed from one of their teachers, and I interviewed and thought about this. And during a special show there with Picasso's history with Chicago, the city of Chicago, there was a series of 11 lithographic bowls where he takes a bowl in its final beautiful form, right? And Picasso's thing is, I could draw like a master at the age of 8, but it took me a lifetime to learn to draw like a child. And through this series of work and a lithographic process, he slowly erases this bowl, and he does a print, and he erases it some more, and he does a print, and he abstracts it, and then he gets it down to 11 lines, and then his final print is his own signature, because he's a little bit of a narcissist. And I go, this is perfect. This is something that I can now translate for an adult, for any audience, because if you want to make something accessible, you make it accessible for those with the least access. And I'll tell you something, if you do that, it makes it accessible for all of us. And the most popular place at the Art Institute of Chicago for visitors is actually the entrance of the educational wing, because there are busts. There's a bust in bronze, there's a bust in marble, there's, a bust in ceramics, actual artwork that kids can touch and feel. And the adults, they're kids too, right? So I took this and I carved this in clay, which I had also been studying as a practice, and did an adaptive lesson plan with the Blind Surface Association in Chicago. And I had a woman approach me afterwards, and she said, I remember seeing this when I could see, right? And that struck me. So within my own work, it's that adaptability. It's finding how to make art accessible. And I think drawing it back to my childhood, thinking again, why do we exclude ourselves from art? is you don't need a background in art to do it. You don't need to go to the Art Institute of Chicago. And it's just about saying yes, and it's about making it accessible. And I think even in this project as well with Salem Reads, it's a wonderful opportunity for us to read the same thing, to be thinking similar material. And what I get from the piece and what you get from the piece and what we get from the book is all going to be different. And so I hope with my art that that might be a lens in which to engage and maybe demystify and make it more accessible. So long story short, I love all art. I do it professionally. I work for the Salem Art Association and I do marketing and graphic there. And before that, working with them, putting on the Salem Art Fair and Festival, and prior to that, doing gallery management on the coast. My husband is also a farmer, so I have had so many farm jobs and shucking garlic and yeah. And I'm also a mother, which is a full-time profession in and of itself. Yeah, that is who I am. Thank you for the question.
Very good.
And there you have it. That was just the first of two broadcasts featuring the artists of Salem Reads. In this first broadcast, we got to know these five artists as they chatted about their endeavors in their chosen field of art, their background, and in most cases, the directions they're taking with their art. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. Talking about art is great, but now it's your turn to go out and do something about art. I'm your host, Joe Balzac. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.